To get a confirmation on something here that is pretty startling. Sheila sent me a link to a story that a huge blast in Afghanistan has killed 27 U.S. soldiers. I haven't heard anything about this and it was early Thursday today. I've heard nothing about this at all. We go to the AP wire, and there's nothing there. The only place that we are, I can find it, frankly, is in. There is a publication in, I think it's Pakistan, called The Nation. That is offering confirmation. The Iranian press is offering confirmation. But if this is true, If anybody out there wants to do an internet search and find a check of this, so far the Iranian press, the Pakistan press, the Afghan press, the Russian press, a couple of extreme right wing sites in this country, U.S. I see nothing from the Indian press, Chinese, Israeli, European, Japanese. Maybe somebody can get a verification of this. It says a powerful explosion has rocked a U.S. military base in eastern Afghanistan, reportedly killed at least 27 American soldiers, left dozens wounded. A Taliban spokesman so-and-so claimed responsibility for the deadly attack. The incident occurred early Thursday in Afghanistan, which would have been Wednesday night. Here it is Thursday night. I've heard nothing. Have you? From so-called Western press. A truck bomb went off inside the U.S. military base in Gardez City, the capital of Afghanistan's Paktia province. Hundreds of kilos of explosives. U.S. helicopter also destroyed. I don't know. This is, if this did happen, the French news agency is reporting it. Let's see. Okay. Now from Agence France-Presse. No, this is something different. This says bomb attacks killed 25 people in Afghanistan on Thursday, ripping through a minibus packed with civilians and targeting a U.S.-run base in the east bordering Pakistan. Women and children among the casualties. See, this is why you have to check this stuff out. According to the French news agency, The local government spokesman blamed the bombing on the armed opposition groups, a reference to Taliban-led insurgents. Anyway, it goes on here. It never made it to the U.S. military base. However, a Taliban spokesman contacted French news agency from an undisclosed location by telephone, saying that dozens of U.S. and Afghan troops were killed and wounded. So, you know, without some sort of independent confirmation, I don't know. This is just bizarre. It would be a terrible, terrible tragedy. Huffington Post now reports a roadside bomb killed 21 passengers on a minibus. All right, we'll wait. No matter who dies in this, it's horrifying. But, man, it's always some kind of dark, nasty story, isn't it? It's always... Pravda reports it. This hour is sponsored by Jude. Her message is, the sponsorship is in support of Leah Burton's dedication to exposing the Christian dominionist in her new book, God, Guns, and Greed, A Dangerous Path for America. You can pre-order this book via Amazon.com. Thank you, Leah. Peace, Jude. Thanks, Jude, for the sponsorship and the mentioning of that book. The book is God, Guns, and Greed, A Dangerous Path for America, and you can pre-order it via Amazon.com. We'll come back to that story if and when there is confirmation of what we got first. David Letterman is the latest victim of religious insanity. His life has been threatened now. A recent posting on the radical Shumukh al-Islam web forum is calling for David Letterman's assassination and for good measure cut off his tongue. The threats were issued in response to a broadcast of the Late Show, David Letterman. Letterman celebrated the killing of senior Al-Qaeda member Ilyas Kashmiri by drawing his finger across his throat, you know, got him, kind of like that, right? Letterman made the gesture after it was announced on June 5th, 2 months ago, that a U.S. drone strike in Afghanistan had killed Kashmiri. Various reports also said that Letterman had insulted Osama bin Laden. Ooh, don't want to do that. Insulted? Jesus. Now, Letterman has a reputation for pissing people off. Sarah Palin's daughter. Remember, he said something. I don't even remember what it was. But he referenced Sarah Palin's 14-year-old daughter, Willow. He apologized for it. Then women's groups called for his resignation, and he was inducted into the National Organization for Women Media Hall of Shame. The threat says, is there not amongst you Saeed Nosair Al-Masri, may Allah release him, to cut the tongue of this lowly Jew and shut it forever, just as Saeed, may Allah release him, did with the Jew Kahana. That's referring to the Masri was the one who was convicted of killing Meir Kahana. We ask Allah to paralyze his tongue and grant the sincere monotheists his neck. O Allah, amen. Now, of course, David Letterman is a Presbyterian. He's been targeted before, usually by stalkers and would-be kidnappers. But this is at the Christian Science Monitor if you want to check it out. another reason to feel that, for me anyway, that familiar wretch of bile that comes up in the back of my throat anytime I hear of more of this religious insanity.
Truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Look at the state of the world that we live in, where no one gives a damn about the future of children. Just building a cast.
21 past the hour. Okay, thanks everybody who sent us in. Seattle Times, winner of 8 Pulitzers, is now reporting at their website that an explosion did occur in eastern Afghanistan, but it ripped through an Afghan construction firm, killing 25 people, injuring 80. It damaged 50 surrounding homes. At first, the speculation was the explosion was caused by a car bomb, but the deputy governor of the province said the blast may have been an accident because explosives were stored at this construction site. Anyway, the government is now saying 25 people dead. Okay. Either way, no matter how that story is reported, it is a tragedy, isn't it? But it's interesting the way it's first reported. Okay. Here in Atlanta, I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound like I don't know what the hell I'm talking about here, but the fact is I don't know what the hell I'm talking about here. It was just something that popped up, was sent to me about, you know, a minute before the program began. Here in Atlanta, we had another one of those scenes today. Depending on who you want to believe, 5,000-7,000 people lined up for a job fair. No jobs, just a job fair where you could go in and talk to recruiters from some well-known companies, Coca-Cola, Sprint, Comcast, Google, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, Microsoft, General Electric, Starbucks, Waffle House, Pepsi. About 25 people were treated for heat-related illnesses. Thousands lined up for this. It was at a school in Gwinnett County, which is one of the counties that make up Metro Atlanta. 7 of the people who were treated were taken to the trauma center hospital here, Grady Memorial. Most of the incidents were heat-related. In one case, a person complained of chest pains. There were 90 employers there. And I'm sure that some people are going to get employed. But if you could have seen the videos, maybe you did see some of the videos, people dressed to the nines, in business attire. People in men in business suits, women in business dress, waiting, standing in this heat. It was 93 degrees here today. The I'm not sure what the heat index was, but some of these people in business attire had gotten online last night and just stood there. Jesus God. Radio dispatchers were calling out EMTs and fire engines with reports of multiple patients down. It's just, you know, how much longer is this going to go on? Representative John Lewis showed up. He urged the people online not to give up hope. He called for a federal solution to unemployment. How much longer? And probably 95% of the people that showed up were African American. I think this might have been, was this sponsored by the Black Congressional Caucus? I'm not even sure. But there these people stood. And of course, I think CNN showed up, and that's when I first heard about it this morning, late this morning. CNN was there. I think MSNBC showed up. A lot of the local television networks showed up with the usual inane and kind of condescending questions like, what do you expect to have happen today? Are you prepared to start work tomorrow? Did you bring your resume? How long have you been unemployed? How did you get unemployed? I swear that if I were standing online in 90-degree plus weather and waiting in a line of 5,000 and a television reporter who is working asked me that kind of a question, I'd be very tempted to do something ugly, as Rick Perry would say, something ugly. Well, television has to have its news, right?
Come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, I guess this would be a good time to do our report from Prairie 2, right? He writes, the markets fell through the floor today. The official reason is the bad unemployment numbers, but while initial claims went up slightly, they're better than we've had most of the last 3 years. Corporate media doesn't like to mention the fact that the zombie banks might collapse again, and it's a toss-up whether they will get bailed out this time. The Dodd-Frank law does give the government the power to take the huge banks over the way the FDIC does with smaller banks, but this would take away most of Wall Street's power. How would that work? Let's see. Better ask the magic eight ball. Shake, shake, tip. Better buy canned goods. All right. Let's try again. Shake, 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 tip. That's funny. It only gives one answer. Better buy canned goods. Joe Biden went to China, and out of courtesy, the Chinese media toned down the scolding rhetoric that has been flowing nonstop since the Republicans tried to default on the debt. They came right out and said they really want to hear from Biden about the negotiations he was involved in. Poor Joe. It really sucks when you have to explain everything to the banker. Biden met with his so-called counterpart in China, Vice President Xi Jinping. In reality, Mr. Xi is being groomed to take over chairmanship of the ruling committee when the current comrade chairman retires. Only in the Western media, which is dominated by advertising from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, is the leader of Red China referred to as president. This is to make it more palatable to the American people who live with the illusion that capitalism leads to democracy. Comrade Xi Jinping will be chairman of a six-man committee with absolute control of the last superpower, and is referred to by the same title as Chairman Mao because there is no difference between the two leaders, except perhaps in style. The Chinese own perhaps $1 trillion in U.S. bonds, and were probably cheered to see the 10-year note set a new record price today as investors flee to safety. This drove interest on this bond to a new low, and this is the basis that sets all consumer interest rates. This has caused record low mortgage interest, so that it would be great if buying a house was a good idea, or even if you can get a loan. A phenomenal number of home purchase agreements are falling through because the appraisal comes back at way below what the buyer agreed to pay. Yeah, some people who have suddenly realized that the free market means no wealth for them are fleeing to gold, and it set a new all-time record price today. If you think things are so bad that you want to buy gold at this price, you should be buying canned goods and ammunition. If the economy recovers, then gold will plunge in price, and you won't be able to sell it on the way down. If the economy doesn't recover, it will be a long time before you'll be able to find somebody with anything they want to trade for gold. Poverty continues to increase, and the Republicans' constant refrain is that we can't afford to help the poor or educate the children of the middle class or take care of the elderly because we're broke. But only the bottom 99% are getting poorer. Walmart complains that their customers are suffering from falling incomes and high unemployment, and that's why Walmart sales are down for the ninth straight quarter. It's nothing but crocodile tears, however, as they, more than any one corporation, are responsible for the decline of their customers. You know the story. Every Walmart lays waste to a 40-mile radius, and every supplier was forced to move production to China or was destroyed. Walmart stock was the only Dow component to go up today. If the Walton heirs were one person, then that Walton singularity would make Bill Gates look like small shop owner. A singularity, of course, is a small black hole destroying everything within its gravitational field, just like Walmart does. PrairieNumeral2.com. P.S. I posted this, and a blog reader commented that you can orbit a singularity or a Walmart if you stay far enough away. Unfortunately, that gives a false sense of security. The problem with singularities is that by their nature, they grow like unregulated capitalism. Eventually, their irresistible gravity will reach you, and you will be torn apart with no mercy. And you know they're trying to create small black holes at the CERN accelerator in Switzerland? Is that project still working? Huh? Oh, and by the way, Rick Perry, who makes his claim about being a captain in the Air Force, he really served in the Air Force as a C-130 pilot during peacetime. The officer's rank, captain, is really honorary, as he was just a highly paid truck driver. He has no command experience, and any rank above corporal would have more experience that would translate into being commander-in-chief. His campaign photo shows him posing with a T-38 jet trainer, implying he was a fighter pilot. While requiring more skill and risk has the same limitations to experience. Look at McCain. Perry's nickname in college was Crotch, from the overly tight jeans he wore and constant adjustment that resulted. He could borrow Bush's codpiece for his flight suit. That's also from Perry, too. What was his nickname? Crotch? Oh, yeah. A federal judge threw out Obama administration rules that tried to slow down the expedited environmental review of oil and gas drilling on federal land. Right? What happened back in the during the reign of the Bush terror operation, put into place were expedited rules. That means no rules regarding oil and gas drilling. And they had fancy names for it, like categorical exclusions and yada, yada, yada. The Obama administration argued that oil and gas companies had no case because they didn't show how the new rules, the Obama rules, implemented by the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Forest Service, last year, had created delays or added to the cost of drilling. They just had to, they had to comply with very minimal environmental regulations, because Obama's not going to do anything to piss off these huge fossil fuel energy firms that punch holes in the ground and look for more death that way. But even so, this judge, Nancy Freudenthal, ruled in favor of a petroleum industry group, the Western Energy Alliance, in its lawsuit against the federal government. So the ruling kicks out the Obama minimal restrictions on this stuff and puts back the Bush era oil and gas drilling rules, which means that, remember, this was talked about back when Obama got this minimal thing passed, or somebody got it passed. I don't know. Was it Obama? Who was it? Nancy Pelosi? I don't even know. But the talk of, you know, going with your family to Yellowstone Park, and as you gaze out, you see the uranium miners hard at work down in the Colorado River Basin, or you go to the Redwood National Forest in Northern California, and scattered amongst the redwoods are oil derricks. You know that that's coming. You know it's already happened, right? Oh, and speaking of big retailers, big box retailers, Target has fired a woman after she failed to persuade her colleagues to join a union. She failed. So about 7 weeks after this happened, I guess Target thought nobody would be looking, they fired her. She's an $8 an hour store clerk in Valley Stream, Long Island. It was the first, what she was trying to do is to organize the first union at a Target in the country. Again and again, she told media outlets she was struggling to raise her daughter on what she earned as a Target sales floor team member. Team members. $8 an hour. She's 21. She lost her $8 an hour job. Target supervisor fired her because she tried to talk other workers into considering joining the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 1500. The union immediately filed an unfair labor practice charge with the National Labor Relations Board, saying that the woman was fired, quote, because of her activities in support of the union, end quote. Of course, Target will say no, she got fired because she wasn't a good worker. She was over, what does it say here? She acted recently in an overly hostile, disruptive manner that is inconsistent with Target's policies. Hostile? Disruptive? Ah, okay.
another cup of coffee. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Yeah, in a statement, Target said they fired this 21-year-old woman in Jamaica, Queens, who tried to organize workers at a Target store in Valley Stream, Long Island. They fired her because, quote, she recently acted in an overtly hostile, disruptive manner that is inconsistent with Target's policy. See, they waited 7 weeks, and then they fired her. The woman said she was told on August 5th not to report to work the next day because supervisors were investigating allegations that she had spread rumors that all staff members of Jamaican descent would be fired. Really? Apparently team members who hailed from Jamaica, including Ms. Green, had been the most vocal in support of unionizing. Ms. Green said, quote, I believe I was fired because of my participation in the union campaign. Because I'm for the union, they wanted to get rid of me, end quote. And she wanted to work. She had complained of being scheduled for 20 hours or fewer a week. And she said she was picked on because of her age and influence on other young workers at Target. She said the firing would be difficult for her to deal with because, quote, I do have a daughter to take care of, end quote. By the way, all Target stores are non-union, as are all Walmart stores. Oh, yeah. This hour is sponsored by Jude. In support of Leah Burton's dedication to exposing the Dominionists, these Christian crazy people, in her new book, God, Guns, and Greed, A Dangerous Path for America. That's the title, God, Guns, and Greed, A Dangerous Path for America. You can pre-order, apparently this is not out just yet, you can pre-order via Amazon.com. And Jude closes with, thank you, Leah. Peace. God, guns, and greed. Yeah, we've talked about this so many times that intercurling, like a couple of snakes of capitalism and fundamentalist Christianity. It's just horrible. I mean, you know, be afraid. Be very afraid. Or be ready to fight, one of the two. Of course, you know, when you're going up against religious crazy people, I don't care what the religion is, if they're deep enough into it, by definition, they have to be mentally unstable. Seriously, by any definition of what a mental instability is, I mean, think about it. I mean, somebody that recognizes a spiritual aspect to human life, if for no other reason than simply because he or she wants to recognize that or declares that it must exist and therefore starts to, you know, honor or explore what is referred to as the spiritual nature, mind, body, spirit, the spiritual nature. Okay, that's one thing, isn't it? Matter of fact, that can be centering. That can be calming. Meditation. Remember when transcendental meditation was the rage 25 years ago, and it was repeated over and over again that if just 1% of the world's population would meditate at a given time globally, world peace would follow almost immediately. Okay, And immediately the Christians attacked meditation as being satanic. Remember that? Remember all that? I do. Do you remember that? So spirituality is one thing. Spirituality is very singular and solitary. It requires an exploration of self and mind and mindfulness. It is not about building 25,000 member megachurches with basketball teams and garbage like that, while they also tell you that you're going to rot in hell forever if you don't give them money or believe the way they do. Spirituality is one thing. Religion is something else again. When was the last time someone who is exploring their spirituality said to you, well, I'm going to have to kill you now and behead you because you walked into my meditation circle? When's the last time you heard someone who is meditating, rise up after an hour of silence and an hour of sitting on one's hopefully comfortable zaptu, and the person rises up, gets a drink of water, picks up a sword and comes at you and says, "Die, infidel!" I don't know. When's the last time you picked up a paper and read about some religious crazy people who executed a physician because he was involved in a procedure with a woman in the privacy of his office or her office, and the religious crazy people didn't like that? When's the last time you heard of someone who meditates doing that? Or someone who chants quietly in the middle of a little forest or a park? See, do you notice the difference? Yeah, I think so. We'll be back. Stay with us. You're open now, 877-996-2556, if you want to call in, 877-996-2556. This hour is sponsored by Lois Swinsky. Thanks, Lois. I've had a couple of people email me about ads that have been appearing on our website, MikeMalloy.com, for right-wing political candidates and this and that. And our webmaster, George, just sent me a reminder. Please keep in mind these ads are Google ads that pop up on your sites. George runs several sites. Keep in mind we use these ads to fill up areas while there is currently no paying advertisers. And many major sites use them, including Huffington Post and the Daily Beast, to name two. When there's ad space available that hasn't been sold, these ads pop up. George goes on, as we get closer and closer to election season, the ads that are running on some of our sites can get troublesome. in that Republican candidates, political action committees, super PACs, or groups may end up showing up on your site. The reason for this is that most of the ads that Google places work off keywords picked up from your site. So if in a blog or a show post it says, Rick Perry sure can eat a corn dog, Google will pick up on Rick Perry and run a pro-Perry ad. It's also probably why Progressive Insurance makes a showing as well on your site. Well, that figures. The issue is we don't know what else may creep up. Last night we removed an Alan West ad from a site. Anyway, so if you go to MikeMalloy.com and you see these right-wing ads, as our web designer and webmaster explained, we, as long as we use the Google pop-up ad thing, for which we do, you know, we pick up a few cents on each one that pops up. As long as we use that, and some months we have those up because we do not have enough ad space filled on our website, and they will show up. So if you go to my website and you see something for these right-wing sons of bitches, you know, just send me an email if you want to, or just ignore it. It'll disappear. If you send me an email, then I'll pass it on to George and he'll block it. But that's just part of web commerce right now. Someday when, at the end of the month, when Kathy and I sit down to count how much is left over in the checking account after the bills, if there's ever enough money to, you know, have George block everything, we'll do that. Alan is in Atlanta. Hello, Alan. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing there?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I just wanted to kind of agree with you on that, what you were saying about spirituality and religion. You know, it's just kind of weird to me how now, at least to me, it looked like the Republican candidates, that's something now that a prerequisite that you don't have to have to be in office, is that you have to be affiliated with religion. And it's just kind of weird because the country wasn't founded, contrary to popular belief, on religion. People keep saying, well, this is a religious country, but George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Adams, Benjamin Franklin, even Abraham Lincoln were not religious people. As a matter of fact, they actually wrote several letters and made several statements about the conflict with religion and politics, and there was a reason why we have the separate church and state. But now it seems like that's for some reason people want to hear or be deluded that, you know, I was supposed to be able to communicate with a higher power, so that makes me more qualified to be your president.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's the opposite, you know.
Yeah, I do too. You know, there are countries that declare themselves the Islamic Republic of Iran, the Jewish State of Israel. Countries like this who declare themselves to be founded on certain religious principles and their constitution based on those religious principles. But that's not us. Like you point out, that's not us. And these right-wing candidates, you know, most Democrats, if pushed on it, will say, okay, yeah, I go to church. You know, I think Jimmy Carter was the most overt evangelical, and even he didn't ram it in somebody else's face. I mean, he didn't walk around saying, elect me because I'm an evangelical and I teach Sunday school. That's not what he said at all. You know, he also worked on a nuclear submarine and had the power in his hands to wipe out millions of people. But, yeah, this religious test, all of a sudden, see, it's creeping up, isn't it? It's creeping up where there's a religious test. If you are not a fundamentalist kind of Christian, then watch out, because they're going to come after you, they being the other ones. It's crazy, and we're drifting. We're heading in the wrong direction now, and we're heading into this. And I don't know how to put the brakes on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know, I think that probably since who knows, the time, ancient times, that religion, you know, has always been pretty much crammed down whoever's throat, wherever they were, what geographical area they were, or whatever the time. And it's always, you know, sometimes even during the Crusades, it was, you know, either you took their religion or you died. So,
right.
You know, and to me, I kind of see it now that these people, when they play on these people's sensitivity on their religious beliefs,
right.
It's not an intellectual level. You know, I don't think you could really be president if you came out and told somebody, no, I'm not a religious person at all. For some reason, people, they want to believe that, you know, they want that, but at the same time, they don't want, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, I would vote for somebody like that, somebody who came out and said, look, I'm not going to tell you if I'm religious or I'm not religious. I'm not going to tell you if I'm spiritual or not spiritual. It's none of your damn business.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I'm running for president. So, you know, get out of my, do you remember, I don't know if you're old enough, but I remember back, there was a time, and it wasn't so long ago, where people didn't, you know, you didn't talk about that in public. You talked about it with your family. If you went to church or temple or whatever, you talked about it with your family. But if you were, you know, if you're running for office, that was nobody's damn business. If you were talking to people, I mean, people didn't open up business meetings or county board meetings or sporting events with a prayer. You know, I've been around long enough. I used to be a big baseball fan. You know, baseball players never got out there and went, oh, dear God, help me win the game. I mean, you know,
it's
crazy, Alan. It's slid in. It's snuck in. And it's real dangerous stuff. It is. But I hear what you're saying. Alan, thanks, man. Thanks for checking in, all right?
Okay, Mike. Thank you.
All right, take care. It's nasty. You know, the difference, of course, this is Thursday, and if I'm going to church, I usually do it on Wednesday night because that was prayer meeting night. But it is nasty. It's ugly. It's hateful. Religion is not about spirituality. It is not. It's about control. Religion is about control. It has nothing to do with your spiritual nature. It's about control through fear and anxiety and terror and power tripping. Oh, you know what I'm saying. We'll be right back.
Flying Monkey Right. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. I got this from Scott just a few minutes ago. He writes, Mike, please put this information out to your listeners tonight. Right now, as we speak, 4 million acres of farmland in Texas, where my ancestors were born, 4 million acres have been abandoned. The drought is so bad that most of it, if not all of West Texas, will have no water in 6 months. Lake Travis near Austin is going down a foot a week. In East Texas, where my ancestors farmed 100 years ago, water is being taken from one lake to help another one, Lake Conroe and Lake Houston. I heard a news report that the drought is supposed to last through 2012. Texas is done. Toast. Texas toast? Scott. I don't suppose Perry is going to talk about what is Texas. The big money, the money that supports Perry, and we may get into that tomorrow. I saw that was it Rachel Maddow's program tonight that we're talking about that? But the big money, the really big money, they're not in farming. They may own land, but they're not in farming. They're in oil. And a good friend of mine recently said, Chuck said that there's a book out right now, and I'm drawing a blank on the title, but it makes the case that for the past, I think in the past 50 years, or maybe in the history of the country, at least in modern history of the country, every single crazed right-wing movement that has swept across this country had its origins with Texas oil money. Every single one of them. And I keep thinking about Rick Perry a couple of months ago talking about secession. And now he's talking about how he loves the United States. Perry is just, I mean, he's a piece of work, isn't he? Huh? Chuck is in Knoxville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. How about you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Well, good.
I was glad to hear you finally came to the light with regard to Obama.
Well, I gave the man a chance to the degree that any single individual person who voted for him, I gave him a chance. I wanted to see what he could do. But we talked about the weakness of his legislative history, his executive history before he got elected. But it was a shame. I wanted to see a Democrat turn things around in this country after the 8 years of hell and unfunded wars and Medicare prescriptions nobody was going to pay for and the debt ballooning. I was hoping against hope, I guess, that somebody, Democrat, would turn it around. Big disappointment.
I was in the same boat. I gave up a little earlier than you did, and I guess I was just, to me, when everybody agrees that he's not the answer, then it's time to move on and work towards the answer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is why I called tonight. I wanted to talk about capitalism and socialism and that kind of thing. To me, when this thing finally dies, and there's a vacuum in this country, leadership and power, and it's been completely taken over, and the people get all ticked off and finally decide to start walking in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're floating around in a vacuum for 5 or 10 years until they figure out that they really had it pretty damn good and they should have appreciated what they had. Something's going to happen. Something's going to recoalesce. To me, there's only two possibilities. Three. One is to return to the system we had in a modified form that makes sense. Another is to go to the system we had in a modified form that does not make sense. And then a third would be socialism. In the case of socialism, there's a lot of merit in that all the records are public and you can't hide them behind private corporate books. However, in any system that we have on Earth right now, people can still be corrupt. Big money can still talk. So to me, the ultimate answer is a modified form of the system that we had. And the modification to me being that there be a cap on what any one person can have in terms of assets and value. And that cap being maybe $25 million. Because if you put a limit like that on what a person can make in their lifetime or what they can be worth in their lifetime, it makes it extremely hard for them to conspire against the government's best interests.
Well, that's a good point. And Chuck, I've got a break here. But I'll let me see if I can add something to what you said here when we come back after the break. Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate your point of view.
cause he left and never put like a rattlesnake in his skin. Well, they search the rooms, they check out the groups, and then they...
Radio done right, from the left. Back to Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. Regarding the last caller from, from Tennessee, I believe. A $25 million cap on individual wealth. I because of the mischief that people can do and are inclined to do and usually do once their wealth reaches, that massive amount beyond $25 million. Or I don't know what the figure would be that would make people all of a sudden get real arrogant and say, well, damn, I got all this money. Hell, I'm running for president, or I can do this, or I can do that. So... confiscatory, well, yeah, if the system were set up differently in the first place, I've been getting a lot of emails from people who make a pretty good case for abolishing money altogether, which, on the surface, you go, well, what are you talking about? How in the hell are we going to pay for it? But if you get a little bit below the surface and read, and set aside the giggle factor and say, wait a second, let me read what these people are talking about. You find some very interesting stuff. Now, don't send me a bunch of emails and say, Jesus, Malloy, you're crazy. Just, if you want to check out a cashless society or moneyless society, go ahead. If you don't, okay, don't. Whatever. But aside from that, when I talk about socialism, I'm talking about social democracy. I think that's the phrase. I'm not talking about totalitarian socialism. I'm not talking about the kind of socialism that got all the bad press. That wasn't really socialism, like communism is not socialism. Maybe in theory, it is a totalitarian form of governance. And to hell with that. I would just soon put a bullet between that thing's eyes as put a bullet between the eyes of capitalism. They're both sick and disgusting and anti-life and want to kill me and you and your children and your grandma and your auntie and every, that's just what it is. But capitalism itself, I'm waiting for a real solid disagreement, not the kind of emails I get from people who say, well, capitalism keeps your ass floating, you son of a bitch, you commie. I'm waiting to see a good argument in favor of capitalism as it has evolved to continue. There, as far as I know, and I'm not a student of this, I don't spend a lot of time, I spend more than the average camper, checking out the destructive nature of capitalism and how much further it has to go before it becomes totally destructive. And I'm convinced it's dying. And like a lot of horrific beasts, when it starts to die, the death throes can cause a lot of other people to get caught in the fury and die also. So, or a lot of other creatures, I should say. Democratic socialism or social democracy to me is the only system that really makes any sense. And I've said it before, I have my own little plan of Mike Malloy socialism. And by the way, let me just mention before I get too deep into this, this hour is sponsored by Lois Swinsky. No message, just sponsorship. Thanks, Lois. I appreciate it. But my own little brand of socialism, which democratic socialism, which is not a threat to anybody. The word makes right wingers pee their pants. But to me, the first step would be nationalizing these key industries, banking. That means the ownership belongs to the people in a manner of speaking, but it doesn't belong to capitalists or corporatists. So anyway, banking, energy, healthcare, transportation, and weapons production, all five of those enterprises, those industries, would be nationalized. And the weapons production, to get the, you know, to get the money out of it, with the goal of eliminating weapons production altogether. And then small businesses and family owned farms and ranches and you know, high tech startups and 100 person steel mills and the whole entrepreneurial thing left completely alone. As long as agreed to rules and regulations are followed where it concerns the environment and the safety and non-injurious nature of the product you're producing. You know, that's all. Labor laws are followed, environmental laws are followed, and you're not producing a product that is going to kill and destroy and maim and wound. Gee, I'm talking about guns. Or is it cigarettes? Or is it the modern pharmaceutical industry? It could be all, any one of all or all three, right? But you understand that. That's all. That's Malloy democratic socialism. And it's very simplistic. But so what? So what? You know, I think it would work. But, you know, who am I? I have a 25-cent radio program that emanates from the, or originates, I should say, from the little studio in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. So what the hell do I know? Leah is in Seattle. Hello, Leah.
Yes. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
My name is Leah Burton, and
You're the woman that we that had the a dedication tonight from Jude.
Yes, and Jude is a huge supporter of not only the work that I do to expose political dominionism, but also I'm on the board of directors at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, and she's a big supporter.
Oh, with Mikey Weinstein.
Doing this.
You're talking about Mikey Weinstein's organization?
Yeah, Mikey Weinstein, and it's just Mikey and myself and former Ambassador Joe Wilson on the board. But we do, you know, we're a small group in some ways, but we do have some enormous victories, like we did a couple weeks ago in pulling the PowerPoint slide that was being given to...
I read about that, yeah.
Yes.
Air Force Academy?
Yeah, Vandenberg, and
Air
pulling
Force
that
Base,
PowerPoint
right.
slide that they'd been giving for 20 years, teaching incoming silo officers that their justification was out of the Old Testament. So,
right.
You know... We do.
Leah, if you don't mind interrupting, so that people understand what that sentence that I think most people just slip right by. Silo operators are the people who go into the ICBM silos wherever they're located in this country, and the justification for unleashing them, which would result in mega death on a scale that this planet could not survive, that justification is provided in the Old Testament.
And, that's correct.
Right. There was a PowerPoint presentation, is what Leah's talking about, that's presented to these people to assuage any pre-guilt feelings they might have in being part of a launch that could kill 10, 15, 20, 30 million people. So I just wanted to make that point, Leah, because it got by pretty quick.
Oh, absolutely. And literally could be, you know, the annihilation.
Everything.
As we know it.
Right. Everything.
And these people have been doing various different things. We also exposed the guns, you know, the biblical verses on the gun sites, you know, that were being printed and emblazoned on the rifle scopes.
Oh, yeah.
Military and referred to by the military as Jesus rifles. But before people get crazy about this, mm-hmm. and they always do, I am not anti-Christian. I'm not anti-religion. I'm anti-extremist.
Right.
And out of the over 22,000 people that we represent now pro bono through MRF, Military Religious Freedom Foundation, 98% of them are self-identified Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They're complaining about the proselytizing going on by dominionists. And that's the book that I've written, God, Guns, and Greed, because it has raised to a crescendo in this country that we need to start paying attention. And this is I'm not as much worried about 2012 as I am 2016.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when Sarah Palin walked on that stage, and that's why my book releases on the 4th of September, it's when she first walked from stage left and entered the world stage. I'm a fourth-generation Alaskan. I know this woman. I have gone head-to-head with her. I understand her zealotry. I was raised with a Dominionist mother. I get that, you know, they're twisted, scripture-twisted theology.
Right.
These people are serious, and they are well-funded. And in this country, one of the things we must recognize is we have to quit going, oh, pshaw, and rolling our eyes
mm-hmm.
at the goofiness of Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, or Rick Perry. And we have to understand that it is really a well-funded and very zealous movement behind these people, and they've been at it for a long time. This is the religious right on steroids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think anyone who spends any time at all checking this out, and I have, one of the reasons I have, I don't know if you know this, and it doesn't really matter, but one of the reasons I have a permit to carry a weapon is because I was threatened a long time ago, it was about 20 years ago, by the Christian Reconstruction Movement that was had a kind of a regional headquarters here in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia. And the threats were so serious and so vile that I was advised by the Atlanta Police Department to learn how to properly use a handgun and get a permit and carry it. We got a break here. We'll come back in a second, Lee, and pick up the conversation. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Lois Swinsky. Thank you, Lois. Very kind of you to do that. And by the way, before we go back to talking with Leah, who is the author of God, Guns, and Greed, Leah Burton, if you are interested in if you missed the article about the Air Force pulling the Jesus Loves Nukes training program, you can find it at TV News Lies, tvnewslies.org. Go to their website and on the toolbar, click Military News, and it'll be there. Under the heading Air Force or AF Pulls Jesus Loves Nukes Training. Go to tvnewslies.org and you'll find that. And it's worth a read. Just do it. Take you 2 seconds to click over. tvnewslies.org. All right, Leah, where were we?
Well, you were telling me that you had been threatened.
So many times. I mean, death threats that were not, the Atlanta Police Department didn't consider them to be just, you know, some jive turkey nonsense.
Right.
And it was all about the Christian Reconstruction people, Rush Dooney and that whole crowd. And this new apostolic movement takes off where he left off, and it's gotten so bad out there. So, yeah, I'm real familiar with the seriousness of these people. And while we may mock some of the things that Bachmann says or Palin says or Perry says or the rest of these people, that's because they are so mockable. But the truth is, yeah, they are, what's the term, a clear and present danger to anyone who crosses them, but certainly to our system of self-governance as frayed as it is right now.
Exactly. And in fact, what they're doing is they're proposing, a change in our reality here in America that is
right.
Absolutely, completely un-American. And I'm sorry to hear about those death threats that you get. I get them, you know, I get hate mail daily. I get death threats
mm-hmm.
at least a couple times a week telling me that because I'm not a leader in this, I'm just a tool, so they won't kill me instantly. They'll just torture me for long periods of time.
Yeah.
They threaten to rape my daughter. And the thing that really just appalls me is that they cite Bible verses and
yep.
say that they're praying for me. And these are not Christians. And, I actually was hired last year for a 3-month period to consult with the California Council of Churches to help, inform their members, which is 1.6 million strong in California, of mainstream Christians who are starting to understand that these dominionists are not, not to be embraced.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I call them dominionists under an umbrella, and under that umbrella includes the Reconstructionists and the New Apostolic Reformationists and the Calvinists, and the list goes on and on.
Right.
And they might dangle under there, but every once in a while the wind blows and they kind of entangle each other. And they may not agree with each other, like Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson may not agree in their theology, but what they all agree on is dominion.
Right.
And that means taking over, taking control of. And they view us in this situation, in this world right now, that this is Christianity versus Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But it's even deeper than that, because it's like you have to be the right kind of Christian. And even though I was raised Lutheran, I'm not the right kind of Christian.
Right, right.
And so everybody gets thrown under the bus in their world unless you adhere to precisely their type of Christianity. And Rick Perry and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Tim Pawlenty and Mike Huckabee, and the list goes on and on, are their right kind of Christian. And Sarah Palin was, frankly, the poster gal.
Yeah, she was.
She was trampled by a moose today in the Arctic and disappeared. We still have to recognize that she brought this fringe out from, the Netherlands.
Yeah, yeah,
and
for sure.
And Perry is just trumpeting it forward. And he was anointed on stage in Houston 2 weeks ago in front of God and everybody.
Yeah, and look who did the anointing. Leah, we're almost out of time here, and there's just a couple more items I want to cover. But I do want to have you on some evening, and we'll talk in depth about your book. I'd love to get a copy of it. The title of it is God, Guns, and Greed, A Dangerous Path for America. And if you'll just shoot me an email, Leah, to Kathy.
So much, Mike.
And we'll do an hour tonight, all right?
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Leah. Thanks for calling in.
All right, bye.
Take care. Yeah, we need to get her on, Kathy. This is kind of weird. In a good way, Gordon in Oklahoma City writes, Mike, how do we know that Governor Perry's pleas directed toward his God to change this bad behavior and permit rain to fall on the part state of Texas have not been answered? They have been answered. And the answer is undeniably no. No rain for you. And Prairie 2 writes, a desert is defined as an area that receives less than 10 inches of rainfall per year. With 6.5 inches in the past year, and at 269,000 square miles, Texas now ranks as the fourth largest desert in the world, right behind the Gobi in China. So there you have it from Prairie 2 and from Gordon in Oklahoma City. Yeah, the prayers were answered, and the answer was just simply no. Sire, big boy, I'm not going to send you any rain. Nuh-uh. Where do these people come from? All right, we'll be back after this lengthy top of the hour break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. 7 past the hour. You know, I was thinking earlier today when I was swimming laps about about whether or not there's a different way to set the tone on this program specifically. People write to me about what they perceive to be simply negativity. And, you know, I usually get this, well, you don't have any answers. And, yeah, I do. I've got several, and I put them out there all the time. But the political darkness and the economic darkness is so overwhelming sometimes, isn't it? And I'm not sure if it's a good idea to keep talking about the darkness. This is what I was thinking this morning. I think that, and then I take a look at any day's newspaper. I see what is being reported, whether it is Shell Oil about to, after the another spill, this one in the North Sea, but no big deal, a couple hundred tons of oil, doesn't matter. And they're about to open up more areas of the Arctic off the coast of Alaska with slant drilling, which is particularly worrisome to engineers, I understand. I know nothing about it, but I understand it's particularly worrisome, that kind of drilling. And then I find out that the rules that Obama tried to put in place, where is that, regarding wilderness areas. Where is it? Here it is, someplace. Damn it. The rules that he tried to put in place regarding wilderness areas, in other words, changing what the Bush crime family did. The Bush crime family had decided that there shouldn't be any such thing as areas off limits to mining and oil and coal and people. You know, not at all. Just go ahead and punch holes in everything. It really doesn't matter. And Obama tried to set up some rules that would offset what Bush had done. It's my understanding the federal judge, I think yesterday, ruled that we'll have none of that. And the rules that were set up by Obama, or the attempt to set them up by Obama, have been thrown out now. Just, you know. So that means that the national parks and wilderness areas and places like that are just laying there waiting for the capitalist rapists to come in and do their dirty work. So, you know, I read stuff like that. And I read about the truth about Texas. Actually, if you account for labor force growth, how many people are looking for a job in Texas? Texas winds up dead last in total job creation. All you've heard from this half-wit redneck, Rick Perry, since he launched his campaign last Saturday, he's been parading around the idea that, quote, since June of 2009, Texas is responsible for more than 40% of all the new jobs created in America. Now think about that. We're home to less than 10% of the population, but 40% of all the new jobs are created in Texas. Well, the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas has promoted that number, but the Federal Reserve Bank acknowledges that the number comes out different depending on whether one compares Texas to all states or just states that are adding jobs. Between 2008 and 2010, jobs actually grew at a faster pace in Massachusetts than in Texas, as an example. How is it possible? Federal Reserve Bank in Texas says Texas has done worse than the rest of the country since the peak of national unemployment in October 2009. Okay, how is that possible? The unemployment rate in Texas has been increasing throughout the recession. It's up at 8.2 now. While the state was supposedly creating 40% of all the new jobs in the U.S. Now, that's still a percentage point lower than the rest of the country. How is this possible? Since Texas has created over 125,000 jobs since the depths of the recession in February 2009. Well, Think Progress put it out there. They have a chart. They have an article. The fact of the matter is that looking purely at job creation misses a point. Namely, that Texas has also experienced incredibly rapid population and labor force growth due to a series of factors. When that's taken into account, the job creation in Texas looks decidedly less impressive. So, the workforce expanded by 437,000 people were looking for last year in Texas than the year before. And 126,000 net jobs were creating, meaning that Texas had added unemployed workers at a rate much faster than it's created jobs. Now, it might be a little bit difficult to think about. It was when I first read this at thinkprogress.org. But if you look at the chart they provide, all of a sudden it doesn't add up, what Perry's talking about. These people are goddamn liars. They are filthy, rotten, I've said this a million times. While every National Democrat may be a coward, every single Republican, National Democrat, elected official, or just voter is a liar. You have to be a liar to vote for someone who's lying to you, or else you're just dumber than hell. But that's just another example. It goes on every single day, every single day. You look at this stuff. The biggest target is right now for the Republicans in their race to secure the nomination to be president? The EPA. The Environmental Protection Agency. The Republican candidates are saying that the EPA is a, get this, according to the New York Times, a heavy-handed regulatory agency with an agenda imposed by the Obama administration that is strangling the economy. What? But the bobbleheads and the halfwits and the Republicans, I repeat myself, I'm sorry, and the Christian Reconstruction freaks and the rest of the folks out there will agree with that statement. Yeah, the EPA, it's all their fault. The EPA has been absolutely gutted. Now, this crazy Michelle Bachmann wants to padlock the EPA's doors as soon as she's elected president. So does Newt Gingrich. Rick Perry wants to impose an immediate moratorium on environmental regulation. Oh, that's wonderful. That'll bring a lot of jobs, won't it? It'll bring a lot of death, a lot of destruction, a lot of birth defects, a lot of respiratory problems, but no, let's lie to the Americans because we're Republicans. Ron Paul wants environmental disputes settled by the states or the courts. No legislation. Herman Cain, the Godfather Pizza Man, wants to put many environmental regulations in the hands of an independent commission that includes oil and gas executives. Oh, my God. That's like Herman Cain when he was the Godfather Pizza CEO. Can you imagine him sitting on the board of directors of an agency that certifies heart surgeons? Or nutritional experts. John Huntsman, who should know better, thinks most new environment, I don't know what he thinks, but he says most new environmental regulations should be shelved until the economy improves. Where do these people come up with this? The Environmental Protection Agency. One of the few regulatory agencies that, well, look at its name, Environmental Protection. How much environment has it protected in the past 10 years? Very little, right? But that's their target. If we can just get rid of the EPA, they will tell you why everything will be fine.
Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
Past the hour. Bad news, bad news. Whether or not bad news, which seems to make up the, doesn't seem to be, it does make up the bulk of what we talk about on this program. By bad news, I mean whatever is happening out there in the popular culture where it concerns politics or the direction we're going as a country, what have you. And, you know, I've talked about this before. I get very tired of it myself, but I'm not sure what to do about it. And I just... I was thinking the other day that, you know, maybe I ought to change the program to where I try not to focus on that so much, but don't send me an email. Of course, I decided against that because what the hell would the program consist of then? I mean, I have laid out what I consider to be good counterproposals to not just this Republican garbage nonsense that passes for their political point of view, but also a counterproposal to what Obama's doing. I mean, I've done it so many times. And apparently it's too radical, or my voice is too small, or nobody cares, or it's just all a game, or 2 + 2 = 5, and how many fingers am I holding up, Winston? You know, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. But I periodically get emails from regular listeners who say, well, you know, does it always have to be this dark and negative? I don't know. The clearest example today, earlier today, was the article in the Times about how one of the organizing principles of the Republican Party right now, all the candidates, is an attack on the EPA. What kind of sense is that? I mean, is that anywhere, even 1% within the realm of logic or reason? The answer? No, of course not. The EPA, which has been totally defanged, it's almost been defunded. But the Republicans do this. They will take a target. They'll pick something. Same-sex marriage. EPA. Gasoline tax. Something. And all of a sudden, it becomes this 40-foot-tall, fanged, fire-breathing, clawed demon that's devouring the countryside. And only they know how to stop it. And the way to stop it is elect Mitt Romney or Michelle Bachmann or Newt Gingrich or one of these other half-witted goddamn morons, and they will save us all by ending the EPA. Where is any, is there any logic, any sense, any rational thought behind that at all? Now, if you ask the average bobble-headed Republican voter, they'll agree.
It's EPA, and this global warming crap,
How do you exist in the world of talk radio with that kind of crap floating around like so many unflushables inside a toilet? I mean, how do you do it? David Jenkins, of Republicans for Environmental Protection, a group that believes that conservation should be a core value of the party. Can you believe that? Republicans for Environmental Protection. David Jenkins says not only are these positions irresponsible, they're politically problematic. The whole idea, Jenkins says, that you have to bash the EPA and run away from climate change to win a Republican primary has never been borne out. Where's the evidence? That's a Republican. That's a Republican. Well, I don't know what he is, but he is with the group Republicans for Environmental Protection. Did you know such a thing existed? No, neither did I. But attacking the EPA, attacking climate change science, and attacking environmental regulation, that's a surefire way to get these Republican halfwits who attend these rallies to applaud. What are they applauding? They're just sitting there going, yeah, yeah, kill me soon. Yay, kill me quicker. Yeah, yeah, we're about ready to have a baby. I want a three-headed baby. Yeah, kill me, kill me, kill me, kill my children. Yay, yay, thank you, Rick Perry. Thank you, Michelle Bachmann. Yay, I don't want to go to the beach. The beach sucks. Let all the crap roll to the beach. I don't want clean water. Let's have,
all kinds of stuff. Let's have more erectile dysfunction drugs in the drinking water. Yay! Yay! Kill me! Kill me! Kill me! Oh, my God. Now, the light side of this, the American people, according to the Times, by substantial majorities are concerned about air and water pollution and largely trust the EPA. So who are the Republicans talking to? Why do the media give them so much coverage on this stuff? Oh, that's right. It's the equivalence thing. Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, if he's in favor of not beheading babies and this other guy thinks beheading babies is a good idea, I've got to give them both equal time on my news show. That's right. Okay, let's hear from the beheading baby side. I want to cut their heads off. Oh, let's hear from the not beheading baby. I don't think that's a good idea. Oh, well, there you have it, folks. Both sides of a really important argument here in mainstream media.
So we voted for Republicans, a form of suicide.
Republicans! Mortgage rates.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. So you know, is the program too negative because we have a whole countryside? It seems that way, doesn't it? A whole countryside, the stampede of morons, halfwits, religious crazy people, right wingers, people who say the problem with the economy, the problem with the country, the problem with everything is those lying sons of bitches talking about global warming. It's their fault, or it's that EPA, or it's the Bureau of Mines, or Indian Affairs, or something. They're screwing everything up, right? I mean, they go on and on. Bachman got loud applause a few days ago at a rally in Iowa when she said the following, quote, "I guarantee you the EPA will have doors locked and lights turned off, and they will only be about conservation. It will be a new day and a new sheriff in Washington, D.C. Bang, bang, shoot 'em up, I'll fall down." I added that last part. In an earlier debate, she said the EPA should be renamed. We ought to rename it the Job-Killing Organization of America. Grin. Applause, 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 applause. That was pretty good. The Job-Killing Organization of America. Grin. Applause, 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 applause. And, of course, she refers to global warming science as a hoax. Not a debatable idea, which it isn't, but, you know. Not that there might be several different opinions on this, which there aren't, of course, but a hoax! A hoax! That means a lie, a fraud, a deception. I don't know. And then you have a spokesperson for the Obama administration. What's his name here? Clark Stevens. And Clark Stevens said, quote, "This administration, the Obama administration, has shown a clear commitment to taking steps to protect our families from dangerous pollution, while at the same time ensuring those steps are implemented in a way that minimizes costs, maximizes flexibility, and does not impede our economic recovery, end quote. That's in response to these neo-Nazis, that would be every single Republican candidate, the charge they are leveling against the EPA and the Obama administration, that this is all job-killing stuff, as if there was an ounce of truth to it. Well, the response from the White House is just slop. Slop. Now, what's slop? You haven't used that very often, Malloy. What is slop? Well, okay. When I was 15, I worked on a farm in the summer. I was 14, 15, and 16. And what I did on the farm was I got in a pickup truck with two other guys with about four 60-gallon barrels every evening about 8 o'clock. And we drove over to this camp, YMCA camp, that was a couple of roads west from the farm. And we'd go behind the dining hall at this YMCA camp. And behind the dining hall were other big barrels, only those big barrels were full of slop. We would exchange the barrels. We would leave the empty barrels there, and somehow three of us wrestled these enormous slop-filled barrels onto the back of the pickup truck. And then we'd drive back to the farm and back the slop truck up to a trough inside the pigsty. Yep. And then we would somehow lift these barrels and dump the slop into the trough. And holy God, I mean, as soon as the truck got anywhere near the fence, the hogs would come running. Woo! You didn't have to stand there and go, come on, piggy. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Come on, piggy. You didn't have to do that. You just dumped the slop into these troughs. That's what I think of every time I hear a White House spokesman for the Obama administration say something like, this administration has shown a clear commitment to taking steps to protect our families from dangerous pollution, while at the same time ensuring those steps are implemented in a way that minimizes costs, maximizes flexibility, and does not impede our economic recovery. That's one sentence. That's slop. You know, Clark Stevens, perhaps, should have stepped out and said, hey, wait a second. In the first place, these crazy sons of bitches are just that. They're crazy and they're sons of bitches. Why is anybody listening to them? What do you mean the EPA is a job-killing organization? The EPA has been totally gutted, and we continue to gut it further. Hell, we just agreed to open up drilling in the Arctic Ocean. And if that's not enough, we're about to sign off on a pipeline that goes from the Alberta tar sands all the way down to our favorite state, hell, excuse me, Texas. Oh, yeah, we're tough. This administration has shown a clear commitment to taking steps to protect our families from dangerous pollution, while at the same time ensuring those steps are implemented in a way that maximizes flexibility, minimizes costs, and does not impede our economic recovery. Slop! That is slop. It's the same thing we used to feed the hogs. Don't even ask me what was in those barrels. You don't want to know. But I tell you what, if you lived anywhere near southern Michigan 50 years ago and a couple weeks later had bacon on your breakfast table, you might have been getting that slop indirectly. Rick Perry has been at war with the EPA since he took office as governor.
Yeah, you goddamn right.
According to New York Times, he's leading a group of states in a lawsuit seeking to block the EPA from putting in place rules limiting greenhouse gas emissions from power plants, refineries, and other large sources.
No, we ain't going to have none of that. I want to breathe the slop. Give me some slop. I want slop in my lungs. I want to breathe it. I want to live near a refinery. You're goddamn right. I want four-headed children. Three-headed, hell, that's a liberal point of view. I want four-headed children with webbed feet. I want to breathe this stuff. I want to eat it. I want it in my water.
No? You don't think so? I hate being negative. I hate being negative. Every time I come into the studio, it's dark enough in here. If you watch us on Ustream video, the few times we video stream, you see how dark it is in here. When I finish up a program, I'm ready to go upstairs and open a vein. It's dark. But what are you going to talk about? Rick Perry has a book out Well, by the way, Monday this week, Perry called on Obama to halt all regulations. Halt all regulations. All right? No more regulations on killing folks. Rick Perry, hide your ass. Oh, you don't mean all regulations, do you, Rick? Yeah, he called on Obama to halt all. Oh, does that mean EPA? EPA regulation. Oh, why? Because they're killing jobs all across America. Oh my God, really? I didn't know. And he has a book out. Yeah, he does. You gotta wonder who wrote it for him. In his book, it's titled "Fed Up: Our Fight to Save America from Washington." Oh my God. Yeah, Washington, I don't know, floats on an island someplace. Our fight to save America from Washington. And in that book, according to the Times, I wouldn't read that if somebody held a gun to my head. But in the book, Perry described global warming science as, quote, "one contrived phony mess that's fallen apart under its own weight. It's a secular carbon cult led by false prophets like Al Gore." Ah, damn, what's wrong with you people? Breathe this stuff. This stuff's good for you. You smell that sulfur? God damn it, your body to hell. There's sulfur in apricots. You didn't know that? You got to breathe this stuff. Acid rain, my ass. Or no acid rain. Them fish are all deformed because the EPA made them deformed. Those turtles are being born without heads and no penises because, well, the EPA made them that way. God damn it. What's wrong with you people? Bang, bang. I'm from Texas. You had 8 years of Bush. I don't like Bush, by the way. Now I'm here to give you 8 more of Texas stuff. Y'all ready? We're going to reanimate Dick Cheney. Get him out of his box and make him vice president again. How y'all like that? Yee-hoo-ee. This is madness. So, I come in the studio, I think, well, what can you talk about tonight? What do you want to talk about tonight? Something that is a little bit light. Let's bring some light. Nam myoho renge kyo. Let's chant. Let's bring some light. Let's light some incense. And I know the other night we put on the, last night was the anniversary of the closing night of Woodstock, 42 years ago. We played some Woodstock music. Hey, listen, freedom, freedom. I mean, that stuff sounds as alien to me as I don't know what, something from the 1920s. Freedom. Listen to all those hippie musicians, those peace and freedom freaks, those kiss me, love me, make love not war. Here, smoke a joint. Oh my God, isn't that cute? Huh? That's what it sounds like now, because now we have people like Rick Perry and Michelle Bachman and some of these goddamn freaks who write me these emails.
Why are you so dark, man? You know?
Well, one of the reasons is because I'm Italian.
And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shirt? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play.
From now on. That doesn't mean.
Before the hour. Yeah, I spent a lot of time, well, relatively speaking, a lot of time thinking about, you know, you ought to change the tone of your program. It's so dark. It's so negative. You know, why do you keep doing this, Malloy? And I don't have a good answer, except for the fact that this particular talk show is about, it's 99% about politics, and everything about politics right now is corrupted. It's corrupted by two very destructive, violent, vicious entity enterprises, capitalism and religion, fundamentalist Christianity in this country. You know, other religions are equally as brutal and violent. All religions are. But our political system is under assault. And has been. Well, you know, see, there I go again. It's not really under assault. It's been destroyed. It doesn't exist anymore. Our political system does not exist anymore. It doesn't. You know, the idea of electing representatives to go someplace and hold a great big meeting and decide what's best for this country and set up agencies and regulatory boards and so on and so forth to keep a country of 300 million plus people moving in just approximately the right direction. What's the right direction? The right direction is living a sustainable life. Contributing to the sustainability, there's that word again, of our nest. That would be the little blue dot we all perch on, trying to make sure that we don't have mass starvation, mass death, war, disease, destruction, just trying to do what, let me think, what Jesus said to do. Treat people like your brother, sister. Of course, all avatars of all philosophical openings into the infinite say the same thing, and then their words are twisted into something called religion, which is all about death and destruction and fear and rage and murder and mayhem and genocide and rape and incest. But you know, when you go back to the original avatars, the ones walking around going, you know what? It's better to kiss somebody than to stick a knife in their back. You know what? It's better to have sex with somebody, anybody, it doesn't matter. It's better to have sex with somebody than to blow up their country. But we don't have that. See, the avatars get butchered, literally and figuratively, very quickly. And what you have left is this mess, this slop. The slop of capitalism, the slop of religion that says to the people on whom it's poured, you stink. Here you go. Deal with the slop. So the EPA is enemy number one to all these Republican filth that are now trying to declare that they are the best one to be the president of the United States. Myron Ebell of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, libertarian research and advocacy organization, says, it remains to be seen, of course, but my guess is that in order to get the nomination, the Republican nomination, you're going to have to be pretty solid on these issues. The issues being, petroleum industry, utilities, coal operations, heavy manufacturers, U.S. Chamber of Commerce. You know, you got to turn the other way while these people are murdering you, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. They're getting right inside your scrotum, Mr. Republican voter, and they are so twisting and poisoning and genetically altering your sperm. How's that grab you? But if you want to be the Republican nominee for president, according to the Competitive Enterprise Institute, you're going to have to stay away from those issues. And Miss Republican voter, I don't know if you agree with this, but, you know, all those little human eggs you have stored up inside you, you know, just bunches of them up in there, right? Think about the toxins. Think about the poison that's filtering in there. Taking those little genetic tissues and twisting them this way and twisting them that way, huh?
And then when you have a child born with some sort of developmental problem or some sort of immediate physical problem or even stillborn, what are you going to do?
Well, it's that goddamn EPA.
It's their fault! But when you go to bed tonight, Truth Seeker, oh, not Truth Seekers. I know you Truth Seekers worry about this all the time and think about it and, you know, study on it. But you're right, Wangers, just think about that. Every time you vote Republican, you're inviting somebody, if you're a female, into your ovaries with their poisons and their toxins. And if you're a male, you're inviting someone into your scrotum with their poisons and their toxins. Think about that now. And they will come in. They will come in, and they will do their damage. It's that goddamn EPA that keeps screwing everything up. I try to have a light-filled, happy show with angels and bluebirds and rainbows and puppies. And it degenerates into this invasion of the ovaries. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.